The following is an interview with Pontiac M&A Andre Fortin regarding Quebec's recently unveiled 2025-26 budget. First off here, I know you have plenty of reactions probably to the budget that was just released earlier this week. So before we get into some of the issues there, especially in the Outaouais, was there anything that jumped out of you as positive for the people of the Pontiac, or maybe interesting, I guess you could say?
I guess the one positive thing is the measure that a lot of people asked, given the context. And that is to keep the measure that was already in place to subsidize wood that's being cut in the region right now and that can't be used in the region to be sent to factories outside of the Outaouais. It's unfortunate that a lot of our factories aren't currently working, including the Maniwaki mill right there, which shut down a few weeks ago. And it's the only other option if we want to keep cutting wood is to send it outside the region. So it's unfortunate we got to it, but it still was a request from a lot of woodlot owners and people who make a living in the bush to be able to send it to mills who can use it right now. So having that, I guess, is the one positive I could see coming out of the budget.
Yeah, I understand there's quite a large investment into the forestry industry there. Is that the only measure that they're taking, or is there other things to talk about there in regards to forestry?
There's a few items, but at the same time, it's all being superseded by the statement that Prime Minister Premier Legault made a few weeks ago when he essentially said that forestry was one of the sectors that he'd be willing to sacrifice in his future negotiations on a new NAFTA. So there is money being allocated to forestry in general, but at the same time, we don't know what it means because we don't know what our government, federal and provincial, are going to negotiate with the U.S. government with regards to it. It certainly wasn't a great signal to send. And wasn't received very well when the CAQ said it was one of the issues they'd be willing to budge on.
And moving on here, it's one thing that we've discussed quite a bit already in regards to funding for the Outaouais when it comes to education, healthcare, that kind of stuff, especially in light of some of the cuts that are happening currently at the local health authority, regional health authority, I should say. So you talk a little bit about investments in the Outaouais that were named in this budget here.
So overall, this budget has the highest deficit in the history of the province of Quebec at roughly or just short of $14 billion. And at the same time, the government's managing to decrease the amount of services that it will give in terms of healthcare and education. And that was Premier Legault's one promise, was that he wouldn't cut healthcare and education. And that's exactly what he's doing right now, which are probably the two files that I get talked about the most in the region. Because what government is doing is they're investing about 2% growth in both those budgets, but the cost of the raises that they gave, for example, teachers, that they gave healthcare workers, far exceeds the 2% growth that the government is investing. So obviously they're going to have to cut some services that are being offered both in terms of healthcare and education, and that's not good news. And above that, the Outaouais just doesn't get its fair share from the budget. The Outaouais as an entire region represents about 4.7% of Quebec. And we will be getting, in terms of infrastructure funding in this budget, 3.6% back. So that basically means that for every dollar we send to Quebec City, we'll get about 75 cents back in infrastructure services. And That just doesn't work. At some point, we can't subsidize the rest of the province forever. We have our own needs here.
And you talk about specifically for education, just in general in the province here, not necessarily for the Outaouais. What's been announced?
So the funding increase for education is 2%, and the cost of increased salaries in education is about, for this year, will be about 2.5%. So right off the top, it's pretty obvious that there will have to be a cut in services that are being made. And the one thing that's obvious to a lot of the school boards, and some of them have already reacted, is that there was a whole bunch of money set aside for rattrapage, so for catching up of students who may have fallen behind. And that money is essentially being cut, which is the most ridiculous thing. If you're gonna guarantee some funding, guarantee the funding for those who have particular needs, those who may have fallen behind, those who need special services. So that's what we're going to see being cut. It's orthophonist and orthopedagogue and that type of service that a lot of the kids in the Pontiac and elsewhere need in terms of education.
In terms of healthcare too as well, like we said, we've already discussed in quite a bit of length here the issues here at the CISO, the underfunding over these many, many years here. Talk a little bit, again, more generally for the entire province here, just the investments, the things that are going on in healthcare in this budget.
I think one thing that's going to be frustrating to a lot of people in the region, but it's perceived as good news from across the province, is that whatever wasn't cut from the from what was previously requested of healthcare establishments, so that's that infamous $1.5 billion that government asked healthcare agencies to cut, meaning the $90 million we had to cut in this region, whatever wasn't cut by the healthcare authorities is being forgiven by government. The problem with that is that in our region, the CISO did exactly what government asked of them, and they did manage to cut a big chunk of that $90 million. And so regions that didn't do that will not face the same level of cuts that we did. It just seems like we are being punished because the CISO did exactly what government asked them to do. That to us is probably the biggest issue in terms of this budget.
And in response to the tariff threat there from the United States, I know there's plenty of industries in Quebec that will be heavily impacted by this, you know, aluminum, farming, forestry as well. Obviously, I guess it's hard to predict.
Yeah, it's very hard to predict because, I don't know, we've got somebody on the other side of the border that seems to change his mind every time he changes his shirt. But we have to protect our industries no matter what happens. We have to give them a decent conditions to operate here. So one of the things we've been asking for a long time is changes to the forestry regime. So the way that we cut wood in Quebec, companies have been telling us when we deal with Ontario, we get about 10 years of predictability, meaning we know where we're going to go cut. We know the roads that we have to build. We can plan out our human resources needs in our mills accordingly. If we operate in Quebec, we get about 1 year of predictability of that we're able to plan out. So we have to look at the way that government allocates woodlots to public woodlots to forestry companies, because it's just not working right now. There's a reason why government or why Resolute, for example, chose to keep its Thunder Bay mill open to close its Maniwaki mill. It's because partly of our forestry regime. So that's something that would have allowed our companies to A, plan out better, B, make more, increase their profit margin, and maybe be able to face the threat of tariffs a bit better. That's really what we would have hoped and still hope that government will put in place in the coming weeks. The other thing is working with other provinces and working with the Canadian government to lift some of the interprovincial trade barriers. We've known about this in the Pontiac forever. It's probably an issue that I've pushed more than anybody else in Quebec City, just because residents in the region talk to me about it more than any other MNA. But it's something that right across the province, people are slowly realizing has to happen if we want to be competitive in the country and help our businesses succeed while they're losing the U.S. market.
And just to wrap up here, you mentioned the deficit. Obviously, it's sort of the headline here, the biggest deficit in Quebec's history, that kind of thing. But can you talk a little bit about the long-term impacts of taking on this kind of deficit here?
Well, it means that future generations are going to have foot the bill for what we're spending right now. The biggest winners in this budget is probably the culture. The culture file, they're seeing a pretty big increase in their funding. But the more you spend, the more it seems that it's obvious that somebody's going to have to pay for it eventually. And if we're not doing it now, then it's future generations that are going to have to do it and going to have to make some really, really hard decisions. So to us, it was a good opportunity for government to streamline its spending, focus on areas that will either have an impact on the current U.S. threat, like agriculture, focus on Quebecers' priorities, like healthcare and education, and stop with frivolous and short-term investments like Northvolt, like Taiga, like this thing called Flying Whales that they sunk a ton of money in. It's time for government to really look at the priorities, and they didn't do that in this budget.
Andre, thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
All right. Have a great day.
That was Pontiac M&A Andre Fortin discussing Quebec's 2025-26 budget. This is Caleb Nickerson with the Local Journalism Initiative.